Good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you as we continue our series, God and Us. Let me ask you a question as we begin tonight. Do you know the name Maurizio Catala? I may have just butchered that because I've never actually heard anyone even say the name out loud. But he's an Italian artist, and I asked that question because he's considered apparently one of the great creators of the world in our current society. You probably don't know his name, but I bet you know his piece of art because it got a lot of attention 5, 6 years ago. His piece of art that drew so much attention was a banana, a real banana, taped to a wall with duct tape. I'm not joking. A banana that you can buy at the market. Apparently, they paid 30 cents for the banana and a piece of duct tape. And it sold for $6.2 million. Someone said, here's a creator. Here's someone who's created something amazing. I'd like to own it. Now, to his credit, Maurizio did include a set of detailed instructions on how to replicate it, because, of course, the banana is not going to last. And the person who bought the art actually ate the banana on stage after buying the piece of art. It's kind of mind-boggling, but people have said, here is one of the great geniuses of our time. He's created this amazing piece of art that shows apparently comedy because it's a banana, and bananas have led to all sorts of comedic situations. And it also shows the foolishness of our society or something like that. All these different attempts to add meaning to the fact that a man decided, oh, I'll take a banana and some duct tape and tape it to a wall and say it's art. Well, Maurizio, as someone hailed as a great artist, probably doesn't know your name, probably doesn't know my name, and probably doesn't care anything about our lives. It's not that he's a bad man, it's just he's focused on people that will pay $6+ million for a banana taped to the wall, not to you and to me. It's not particularly grand, and it's hard to imagine that it really took all that much work. You have to wonder if he needed a piece of art and he simply walked into his kitchen and had some duct tape sitting out from something else and a banana that was going bad on the table and thought, aha, here is my art. When we talk about God and his creativity, we're talking about a whole different class. We're talking about someone who created everything that we ever see and the wonder of it. He created the banana, he created the banana tree. He created all the chemicals and compounds that go into duct tape. He made it all, every single detail of it. And that can lead us to all kinds of different conclusions, wonder and awe and rejoicing, but also a sense of, well, then how insignificant am I? Because if Maurizio, a man who tapes a banana to a wall, doesn't know who I am, how could the one who could make something so much grander know who I am? But as we go into Psalm 8 further, what we find is that God does know, and that's what we're going to be thinking about tonight. So would you join me in prayer, and then we'll dig in. Let's pray. Father, would you please help us to understand more fully how you work in our lives, how you care about the details of our lives. In fact, it's part of how you create. You care about the details of each and every one of us. Lord, would you help us to see that? To understand that and to live in that reality, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at verse 3 of Psalm 8. It says, when I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place. We're just going to pause there for a moment. There's more to that statement, obviously, but consider the things that David's describing here, all the details. And we see some of them over time. We go out at night and we see the moon and it's beautiful, or the stars. We see the wonder of creation in general. And if we stop and pause and say, and when we pray or when we sing or when we come together and study God's word, this is the person, this is the one whom we're reflecting on. Isn't it incredible? God is a great creator. When we see a piece of art, so to speak, of a banana taped to a wall, we think, this man didn't really pay attention to the details. I was even staring at that piece of art as I was preparing for this message, and I looked at it and I thought, well, there's a certain wrinkle to the duct tape. And if one were a painter and painting a scene with duct tape in it, you might think about, well, should this wrinkle be here or there? But the point of this art was to be replaced over and over again. So those sorts of details, they didn't matter. It's a piece of tape, a banana, full stop. Now, we may mock that and we may point to greater creators, but no one that we can point to, no artist, no musician has ever paid this sort of attention to detail that God does. No one has created the very working of atoms to form the compounds that form the things that we make art out of. Only God. God shows that kind of care. And we want to know that God cares, but isn't it a little hard to imagine that someone who can do that actually cares about what's happening to you or to me? In our own minds and our own ability, it seems like, well, how could he? Aren't we just too small of detail? If you do look at someone who's a great painter, maybe one of the Renaissance masters, and you look at that artwork, there's still something about art that requires not heeding every detail. That might sound weird, but if you think about it, let's say I'm a great painter. I'm not, but let's say I were. And so I start painting a painting and I start thinking about the different parts of, say, the human body that I'm painting. I'm painting someone standing in a marketplace, and I start to think about the muscles in a leg so that the leg looks natural and accurate. That's something that Renaissance painters spent a lot of time thinking about, was how the human body is supposed to be situated, how it works, so that they would paint in a realistic way. But I could easily get off track if I started thinking about, well, and those muscles, they're found in these places with these particular chemical compounds in them, formed of these atoms. And I started trying to get a small enough brush to paint the atoms, thinking, well, if a real muscle is made of these molecules, then I need to paint mine with those molecules. I can't do that. No painter can do that. What would you do? Well, you take your brush and you paint what we can see, the details that actually matter to us to create something that looks accurate. Or maybe if it's more contemporary or modern art, you may be inaccurate. Maybe that's the point. But in any case, the goal would be to portray something and not heed all the details that underlie that, that go far beyond the scope of what I'm trying to do, to make it appeal to the eyes, to make it seem the way I want it to seem. I have to set a limit. You look at a map. The whole point is to set limits on what's displayed. A map would be useless if it showed every single detail in the world because we couldn't take it in. What does a map do? It shows the roads, and it shows maybe if it's a map that's further out, it only shows the major roads. You zoom in, or if it were a printed map, you get a city map instead. It has more detail, but it never includes everything. Even if you look at satellite imagery, it's not showing you down to an atomic level what's going on. It stops at a certain point that's useful for us to see things. And a satellite image, as interesting as it can be, well, it's not very useful if I'm trying to figure out how to, say, get from here to Kansas City. It's too much detail. I just need to see how Highway 70 runs. And so what we see is that we eliminate detail because we can't handle it, even though we love detail. Detail fascinates us. It tells our story. It situates us. And as David looks at this majestic creation that God's created, he says, look at your heavens, the works of your fingers. And he's thinking about all these details, but they're overwhelming. Still, they tell him something about our God. He's told about God's orderliness and the way things are made that's reliable. And therefore, if the creation is reliable, it tells us something about the creator. So there's things that we learn, but we can't take them all in at once. If you were driving to and from work today, you didn't think about how the stars were situated in position to where you were at that moment on the road, or at least you probably shouldn't have been. You should have been thinking about the car next to you. We walk into church here, and there's all kinds of details you can see, but you probably don't think about them all the time. If you're sitting here and or standing here, we're singing a praise song together. Well, you probably shouldn't be thinking about how the HVAC system is working. Or even the details that are worth mentioning and thinking about at times, you shouldn't think about other times. For example, the altar up here, we received that from our ministry partner friends years ago, and it has a history to it. I love the different parts of it. The one part came in when Faith Tree and the Lutheran Student Union both started meeting in this space years ago, and then the back wooden piece, well, it wasn't really meant to be part of the altar. If you look at the bottom of it has a place to attach to a pickup truck because it was supposed to be the Wittenberg Castle door for a homecoming float at Lindenwood that was celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So 4 years after it arrived back here after that homecoming, it sat over in the corner over there. No one really knew what to do with it until one day it became, I think, a really wonderful part of what we have up front here. It looks like it all ties together, and the altar actually, for the first time, really felt like it belonged here. Like this is all one cohesive piece. And sometimes I look at it and I still like to think about the details of it, that I look at the top, and if you, when we don't have snow on it, if you look at the top, you see it says Wittenberg Castle, and it's kind of fun to see those details. However, if we're singing praises together or studying God's word together, we probably shouldn't be thinking about the fact that it says Wittenberg Castle up there. And notably, our minds tune that out. We can't handle all the details. So when we think about God and He's created all the universe, we can't even handle the details in this one room. How could God handle the details about us? I think that's something that we struggle with. We really think about how big the universe is. Maybe it's one of the unsettling things when we think we can't even see to the other side of the universe. It's too vast. We try to send a probe out. We've sent probes out into space. They can't even get to the extreme ends of it. They certainly won't in our lifetime. So when David, as he looks up at the heavens, says what he says here. And remember last week, he talked about, you have set your glory above the heavens. God's glory is too big for the earth, too big for the heavens. And as he keeps going here, he looks at the wonder of those places that are too vast for our minds to contain. In God's name, his glory can't even be contained in them. It can make us feel really, really insignificant. But that's not where we should stay. Because God has an eye for detail that's beyond any artist, any musician, anyone who's created anything at any time in all of history. Take a look at verse 4. David goes on, what is a human being that you remember him? A son of man that you look after him? Well, or is it insignificant? But notice here, David asked that question because he knows that God does actually pay attention. He actually does see us in our details. That question, what is man, or some close variation of that appears repeatedly in Scripture, comes up over and over again, and sometimes is in different contexts. Sometimes it's about how we think too highly of ourselves, for example. Sometimes it's just to have wonder at God and His creation. That's certainly an aspect here, but here it's driving us to the idea that God actually cares. Not that we are so significant, at least to anything that's finite and could try to analyze some details and not others. Most of us will never even feature in a little footnote in a history book, much less be notable to someone who authored history. But that's not true. Because the only one who's authored history only pays attention to you. He cares about you. God's attention to detail is unimaginable to us because we can't handle it. The reason we need a map that takes out details, the reason we need to not think about all the history of this altarpiece every time that we're together, or in person or online, is because we can't handle it. We focus on one thing, we're not focusing on another. But God can focus on everything at once, and He focuses on you, and He's focusing on me, and He's focusing on the billions of other people on earth at this moment, and the rest of creation all at once, and not leaving anything ignored. He's not just aware of it. Notice what David says here. This isn't just a question of God noticing, but that you care for him. There's the question. That he cares for you, that he cares for me. Who are we that he would care for us? God's attention to detail isn't just an attention to detail, it's an action towards detail. How important is that? Because God isn't going to ignore you just because he has so many details coming at him. He cares. And he acts. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. He says, "Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your father's consent. But even the hairs of your head have all been counted, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Jesus says, the details that are too insignificant for us to know. How many sparrows have fallen today? Ones that we never saw them flying across the sky, never lived in the area in which they dwell. And so for us, we don't pause and mourn the falling of that sparrow, but God does. He actually notices that detail. And the brokenness of the world that impacts that sparrow is part of our Heavenly Father's concern. So just try to imagine for a moment. If we pick just one species that isn't super endangered, at least, something like, say, a sparrow, or say a honeybee, if we tried even to stop and take note every time one fell from the sky, we wouldn't have time to do anything else. We'd just sit there, and we still wouldn't keep up. But God notices all those details, and by extension, Jesus says, notices us. He notices even the number of hairs on our head, or if you don't have hair, he notices the lack of hair on your head. He cares about the details of who we are. He made the skin cells that our hair is on top of. He made the construction of your heart. He made the construction of your toes. He made the construction of everything you are, everything I am, and he cares about those details. And that's what Scripture calls us to recognize over and over again. God is so much more majestic and holy than we can even imagine. He's also the one that stops and pays attention to us. If I got a message after this message, got an email or a text or something, phone call, and it was from Maurizio, the creator of the banana and duct tape, it would take me back a bit. I'd be sort of surprised. Wait, he actually watches every time he's mentioned and contacts the people mentioning him? And it would take me aback, even if he just said, "Why did you use that as an illustration of someone not paying enough attention to detail? How dare you?" And then if instead he actually said, "You know, I like that you stopped and thought about my art. In fact, I'd like to invite you to my studio so you can see me create my next creation, an apple on the wall with scotch tape." And I'd be taken aback. I'd be amazed. Here's someone that actually stops and cares about what someone he doesn't know is saying and doing and thinking. The challenge for us, I think, is when we think about God, we assume, well, surely he can't really care. How often have I heard, have I thought, have maybe you heard or thought, someone says, "You know, I'm really struggling with this thing, but I'm not going to pray about it. Not because I don't want God's help, but it's just too little of detail. Why would I bother God with that?" And in human existence, there's a time for that, right? If you're at work and your boss says, "I need you to get X, Y, and Z done," and on the way to get Z done, you notice that they've changed out the flooring in a part of the building that you work in. And it doesn't affect how you get to Z. It doesn't affect you completing task Z. It simply is different. You don't stop and call your boss and say, "Hey, boss, they just put down new vinyl flooring." Maybe if you're having idle chit-chat over lunch, but you don't interrupt your work. You keep doing it because those details don't really matter. And sometimes I think that's how we end up approaching God. Then we think, well, okay, I know God wants me to be faithful, and we've been going through the Ten Commandments, thinking about, on Sunday night, some of those ways that God wants us to be faithful. Last night we were thinking about how he wants us to be faithful both in action and thought. Same the week before. He's challenging us to think about a broader range of how faithfulness should look in our lives. We say, okay, I know God wants that. But I don't know what to do. I'm confused in some part of life. I'm concerned about something. Is it a big enough deal to bring to God? I know I'm supposed to get here. I know God wants me to be more holy and pure and self-controlled and lacking in anger and so on and so forth. I get that, but does God care? Is I'm just unnerved by something that in the grand scheme of the universe is insignificant. A bill I don't know how to pay, a little uncertainty at work, just discouragement. I should just, I'm not that important. If I'm feeling discouraged, I should just put a good smile on my face and move on. So why should I bother God with that? But God cares. I got a note from a friend yesterday. Actually, well, she's a friend as well, but a friend's wife. And that friend wanted to let me know that her husband had passed. And I couldn't help but want to mention that tonight because the man who passed was one of my mentors in college. I've referenced him before in messages at times, and he was just an incredible man. His name was Dr. Chilton. And I remember I met him the first time I went to sign up for classes in college. I went in there as not yet even a freshman. I hadn't started yet and came up with this idea. I'd started a web design business and I wanted to have time to work on that. So could I get all of my classes on just 2 days a week? Now, Dr. Chilton had just started working at the university I was at. He had worked at another university, but he just started there. So he didn't quite know how all the classes arranged. But I remember he and my mom, who'd come with me to sign up for classes, and I were sitting there on that freshman, not orientation day, but that day to sign up for classes, sitting at this little desk they'd assigned him as students were coming in. A bunch of different professors were helping people. And the other professors, they had students sit down, and I could watch them. They sit down, they would sign up for things, they'd go off to the next station and so on. But here I was for several hours with him as he was trying to get this schedule to jam in, and he kept trying. And at the end of that, it didn't work, incidentally. I wasn't able to do that. I ended up with classes every day. There just weren't wasn't a way, but he tried so hard for that. And at the end of that, he was a brave man. He gave me his card, so if I ever had any questions, ever wanted to get a hold of him, I could. And then that first semester, I was trying to take in all the different faces around me. I didn't really know who this Dr. Chilton even was, other than that he worked there. But he'd see me, and before I could even recognize him, because I felt like I was just overwhelmed with the details of everything going on, he'd stop and say hi to me. He remembered me and encouraged me to stay in touch with him. Later on, I ended up taking classes from him. He became a dear friend, and mentor, as I mentioned. He taught me so much, not just in the classroom, but while I was a student, we'd sit and have lunch together. And then when I graduated, we'd meet for lunch. He was a longtime Bible teacher and elder at his church, and so we talk about not just the things he taught in the classroom, economics, but we talk about life and seeking to understand God's word and what it looked like to serve in the church and just all kinds of things. And he always encouraged me and he always had time for me. And that struck me more and more as time went on because Dr. Chilton wasn't just some guy who happened to have a chance to teach a class. He was someone who had traveled all around the country advocating for change in policy. He'd met all kinds of important people. He'd worked at several different think tanks and had been involved with people who had significant impact on government policy and so on. He was a man who had made a difference and continued to make a difference. I couldn't compare to those people. And yet he knew what was going on in my life and he cared enough to keep up to date and to check on me and to encourage me. And part of the striking thing of that was he didn't say to me, "Hey, I'm a really important person and I'm stopping." He was completely unassuming that first day. He didn't say, "Well, you're fortunate to get me to help you get your schedule arranged. I'm not sure why I'm doing this because I'm an important fellow." And no, he didn't do that. He just helped. He just cared. And in that, I really think as I look back, that he was living out what he was seeing as he studied God's word, because as he saw a God who would take the time to care for him, that he, in his position as a professor and someone who was helping to make the administration of new students coming in run smoothly at that moment, and later on with someone who was teaching a class I was in, and then another class I was in, and someone who just, well, cared. It didn't matter whether I was important or not by any earthly measure. He just cared about me, and he cared not just about me. It wasn't about me somehow being special. He cared about a lot of people. He just was a very caring man who would always take time to pray for someone or to listen to them. And I do believe that was because he looked at this. He looked at God's word. He looked at how God is towards us, and he was seeking to live that. And not just under obligation, he wanted to. And as I was thinking about this message tonight, I thought, not only is this fresh and new and something I'm still trying to wrap my mind around, but also what a beautiful picture of what we're reading about here. Because as David reflects on God's care, here's one who's far more important than any of us ever will be, who takes care of us. And what does he call us to do? He calls us to respond and care about others, just as Dr. Chilton cared about me and so many others. And we all have that opportunity to reflect on this, to see what God's doing, and one, to know, hey, God cares about me and he's with me. And if you're feeling discouraged tonight, feeling uncertain, if you've been hesitating to pray about something, it tells you, yes, you should. You should take it to God. He cares about it. But then we have a second opportunity from that, which is to say, then God is sending me into this world, and may I show that kind of care to other people? Because as we do, we give people a little taste of God's care. We can't care at the level God does, and we can't know the details about anyone, even one or two people, at the level that God knows about the details of every person. But we certainly can be agents of God's care, reminding people that God cares about all of our details, your details, my details. He's with us. He's with us tonight. He's with us always. He never forgets us, even as we come to the end of our earthly lives. In fact, that's the very heart of the gospel, that he died for us, that we look to that day of the resurrection when death is defeated. And then he won't say, oh, there's all these people around. No, he will rejoice with us as he makes all things new. That's our hope. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, would you be with us and help us to be people who are reminded that you care about us in our big things and our little things and our in-between things. And Lord, would you help us to be people who do show that care to others, just as Dr. Chilton showed it to me. And would you help us to be people who, as those around us reflect on our lives, they're reminded that we cared, and not just so they think highly of us. No, that's not what we want, Lord. We want people to think highly of you. And may it be that we care and that people see that that care is attached to the care for who you are. So they know that more than anything, that the God of the universe, the creator of things more exquisitely detailed than we could ever imagine, is the one who cares about you and me, all of us here. For you, Lord, you are the one who cares. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I hope this was an encouragement to you tonight. And if it was, give it a like or a share. We can't keep in our minds all the details of what's going on with the people around us. But as you share on social media, there are people that you may know really well, people you have no idea what's going on in their lives, really. But someone who God knows the details of that person's life, who needs to hear that God is one who is the only one who truly cares about every detail in that person's life. And not only can he does. And not only does he know that, he acts upon that. He shows his continued care to us. And so please give it a like or a share and help someone hear that. We do, limited as we are as human beings, care about what's going on with each other's lives. And one of the ways that we get to show that care is through our Bible study. It's every Tuesday night, so tomorrow night, 7:15 p.m. Central Time, 8:15 Eastern. We would love to have you join us there. We have a wonderful group of people that do care about each other. We may not know everything going on in anyone else's life in that study because We as human beings are limited. But here's the amazing thing. God does. And in the details that we do share, and we've built a wonderful, warm community, God has, I should say. Well, we pray for each other and we walk with each other through things. And really, the heart of that, the heart of what we do as Christians, is we keep helping each other know that God is the one who does care and is with us through everything. So I hope that you will take part in that tomorrow night. I'd love to send you some details. Just leave a comment in the comments below, and I'd love to do that. Also, speaking of the comments below, if you want to leave a comment there or send a prayer request, question, whatever it might be, to our texting line, 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. It's great to hear from you on that and to get to pray with you. Our prayer team loves getting to do that, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll see you again very soon.